So what I want to talk to you about this afternoon, and I'm glad we're all up close since I'm going to wag things up in the air for you, is how you can add a multi-sensory component to the curriculum that you're already using with your special child to try to make it stick. So I think the statistics are we remember about 50% of things that we read and hear, but we remember 80% of what we have done. And so if we can incorporate doing when we're delivering instruction for reading with our special children or just a struggling kiddo, maybe doesn't have he or she doesn't have a diagnosis, we really stack the deck in their favor. And I want to mention one more statistic to you because this is an important thing for you to remember as well. We remember 95% of what we teach to someone else. So at the end of the day, when you've, you know, hopefully implemented some of these practices with your child, ask them to teach you what they just learned, and you up their retention rate to 95%. So that's pretty good. Okay, now what am I doing that's, is it, it's not me? Okay, because y'all just feel free to tell me if it's me. So I realize we probably have all kinds of levels in here, all kinds of ages. So I just want to start at the beginning, and you just hop on the train when I reach about the development of your child. Let's just assume you already have a curriculum to teach phonics, to teach your child to read. The first thing most curriculum pursues is to teach them the names of the letters and the letter sound correspondence. So I want you to do that in three dimensions. Let me show you. Good, better, best. Y'all are going to love this. And then you can guess my age when you see how technologically advanced I am. Okay. So this is good. Here I have a letter just drawn on a piece of paper. But if I want to, I could use this as like a tile. Maybe you have letters on little tiles. I can use this as a tile. This is good. It can be manipulated. I even like this on this size of paper. If you just did the whole alphabet and you could use them on the floor, especially if you have a younger child, you could use them on the floor for them to, instead of writing, instead of having a flashcard, use this. And I'm going to show you how in just a minute. This is good. Now look at this. This is better. You know why this is better? Because it has something tactile on the letter itself that the child could trace over with their finger. It's even better than better if the child did this themselves. Now, you might not know, but I actually did this, and I'm not a crafty person, which is evident. The point is, you can do beads, you can do sequins, glitter, whatever, but I have added something to this letter, and every time I add something to a letter, I add to my kids' attention to the letter, I add to their source of information, and if they trace over it, they're adding a tactile input. This is the best way, and this is what I want to encourage you to do. Except for I got to find it. Okay. This letter is shaped just like the letter itself, all right? So there's no discrimination needed on the page. I can pick it up and feel that this is an A, all right? So think about these. This is just cardstock. This is not my preferred method. I'm going to get to that. But think about creating the alphabet first and foremost when you're starting out of something that's three-dimensional. I can pick it up off of a page and handle it and move it on the floor, okay? So this is a good thing. This is better. We're going to go back to good, better, best. I'm sorry that it's all down here. I told you it's like a dog and pony show. This is foam, the foam sheets that you get at Hobby Lobby. So I cut this out. I deliberately did a kind of a sorry job. If you came up here and looked, you'd see it's imperfect. And I want you to see that it's imperfect because I want you to let your children, if they're able, make this themselves. If they were able to take a pattern and draw the A on the foam and then cut it out themselves, then that's what you need to do. And if it's imperfect, you need to leave it alone. If it looks similar to the letter that you're after, you need to leave it alone, all right? Maybe they can just trace it and they can't cut it out. Whatever they can do to create something is what you need to let them do. So foam is really good, you know, lowercase, so I'm making them similarly, you know, appropriately sized, you know. So I can, instead of writing, I can use these in all my phonics instruction. If you have a kiddo who is struggling, a child with special needs, it could be a whole myriad of things going on in this room. I'm going to bank that handwriting is probably not a strength. And that's why I say, get handwriting out of the picture and use a three-dimensional object, right? So my very favorite three-dimensional object is this. And if you've been by my booth, you've seen it. This is clay. It's called plastilina. I did have a really cool slide that would show that to you. But the reason I like this the best is it's kind of stiff. It's adult modeling clay. You get it at Hobby Lobby in the adult modeling section. It's not a toy. It never gets hard, and it's real stiff when they're rolling out ropes to form the letters. So the reason I like this is because they totally create the letter themselves. So I'm going to recommend go to Hobby Lobby, use your 40% off coupon, get yourself a couple. It takes about 2 pounds. You can make the whole alphabet. Give your child an alphabet strip, or just use the letters that you're currently introducing in their curriculum at that time. Put it on the table and have them form the letters. Again, if it bears mostly a resemblance to the form it's supposed to be in, you leave it alone. You hear me saying that over and over? All you really creative moms, you get your hands off this clay, all right? So it needs to be their creation. They need to be able to hold it in their hand and trace over this letter and tell me that this is an uppercase A and it most often makes the sound A. And I might trace it again. Tell me that sound again. Ah. Every time they do this, they are sending information to their brain that solidifies what they are learning. And remember, you remember 80% of what you do. I have done this if I have made it. So the mantra is, mommies and daddies, we don't get to touch it. This is my favorite. And you can leave it out on a tray. Just put your whole alphabet. If you're working and if wherever you are in your curriculum, you're working in uppercase and lowercase, just make the alphabet in both and leave it out and multiple copies of E and A and that kind of stuff. This removes, again, I mentioned that, remove the writing from the equation and let your child have success in reading. The more important skill is the reading. Writing can come later, or they can learn to, communicate on a keyboard if necessary, but the more important skill is reading, so you want to remove everything you can that is an impediment to their reading. So writing is a great reinforcer of what we've read, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but in the beginning, when you're just working on, sounds and stuff, use some form of three-dimensional stuff, three-dimensional letters. So let me back up just a minute. So this was the title of this was to add a multisensory component to your reading instruction. And I want to explain what I mean by that. It's kind of evident here, but not totally. So there's lots of great curriculum out there that says it's multisensory, and their definition of multisensory is playing games on a computer because it's animated and there's sound and they've got some body part moving with the mouse and stuff, and I don't think that's enough for our kids. As a reinforcer, I think so. Fine, that's fine. But as you're introducing material, I don't think that's enough of a multisensory component. So let me just say, too, that the other multisensory can mean many things. It can mean this. I'm incorporating multiple senses in making this. It can also mean I just need to stand when I am learning, or walk around when I'm learning, or go up and down the stairs when I'm learning. It can be that I need to just engage my body when I'm doing it, when I'm learning. It can mean I just need something to squish, like maybe I want to take this clay and I just want to mash it in my hands. People come to my booth all day long and they talk to me and they pick up my clay and they just stand there and, squish it. So those things can be multisensory. If you're trying to get your kid to sit still, because this is important, this we need to learn to read, you've probably already discovered that is not a workable plan. So if they need to wiggle, if they need to stand, if they need to walk, let them do those things. So those are my ideas for letters. Let me show you what we're going to do with them. I got to reveal my notes here. Hold on. And some of you are going to get gifts because you get what you pay for when you come to a workshop of mine, right? Okay. So here's what I'm going to do with these letters. I'm going to take, let's just assume these are the letters that we're working on in our curriculum. So I'm going to take my three-dimensional copies, and I'm going to put them on the floor. And now you can't see this. You're going to have to take my word that I am getting this correct. So I'm going to put a variety of letters, and I'm going to tell my kiddo, We're going to work on this letter. This is the lowercase f. It tells us to make the sound f. I'm going to say that a lot while I'm introducing this stuff. And I'm going to put it down with some random letters, and all I want my child to do in the beginning is to find the ones that match. So my kiddo comes over here, and they're moving their bodies. They're discriminating against the different letters, and they're holding it in their hands. After they do that, I'm going to ask them to trace it and tell me the sound it most commonly makes, if it makes a multiple sound, you know, multiple sounds, makes a sound, okay? Think of the possibilities here. Anything you do on a flashcard, make one of these, put it on the floor, all right? So I have them choose the ones that match. Once they can match, so I'm sure that they're able to discriminate and be certain that one, that F is not a T, because I have a T here as well, then I'm going to say, go find the letter that makes the sound F. The kid's going to look at it. He's going to go over here, and he's going to pick up this letter. I'm going to say, yeah, what sound does that make? F. Trace over that. F. Okay, so I'm asking the child, every time they touch this letter, trace over it, because we're imprinting the shape of the letter, make the sound F. Okay? when I move to phonics rules, I'm going to do the same thing. Does anybody's phonics curriculum use the short mark? I forget the name. Short mark and the long vowel, the short vowel mark and the long vowel mark, right? Y'all know? Okay. So just goes to show you, you don't have to know those things to actually teach your children to read. So I'm going to make them all. We're going to pretend that I do have them. All right. I wish this were a flannel board, but it's not. Okay, here's the rule I'm working on. F, A, did you ever see such a thing? F-A-T, right? I'm working on the short vowel rule, one vowel, one consonant, right? I'm going to put this on the floor. Instead of having my child write, I'm going to discuss with them what that rule is when you have one vowel in a word, one consonant in a word, what sound does that vowel make? Makes it short sound, so I've got my little short thing. I'm going to put it over here, and they're going to tell me that word is fat, right? So instead of paper, instead of flashcards, I'm doing it on the floor, all right? So think of those kinds of things in the beginning. Then you're going to move to writing. And when you write, I want you to stand at a whiteboard. That's why I brought this whiteboard in here. So use the writing as a reinforcer of what you've just done here. So if we backtrack and I write a bunch of letters, and I tell my kids, show me the ones that are the same. So I want to be sure they can discriminate visually with two dimensions as opposed to three dimensions, all right? So they're going to show me, they're going to circle the ones that are the same. So first thing we do is match. Oops. Oh, heavens. We're just having an equipment failure right and left. Can y'all see that at all? Just say yes. It makes me feel better. Thank you. Okay, now I might say, show me the letter that tells me to make the sound f. And they come over here and they go right here and I say, okay, draw your finger, trace it with your finger. So they're going to trace it. I might say, try to erase it with your finger. So then there's more intention involved in looking at the shape of that letter. What sound did that make? Okay, so I'm not adding anything, you know, I'm not doing something new. I'm just taking the curriculum and the instructions that my curriculum gives me and I'm adding a component where they're tracing, they're following my lead. Same thing. If we're using a word, oh, heavens. Okay. So in the curriculum that we use, it has you mark a vowel so you notice it. So my kiddo says to himself, oh, there's one vowel in that word. It ends in a consonant. So that vowel says its short name, which is fat. I mean, which is ass. So this word is fat. So I've moved from the floor or the table in big letters to a board, and it's big, all right? I want to reinforce whatever I have done with my kiddos, first off, down here. Second off, I want them standing up so there's blood flow going, and I want them writing big. Later, when they're reading, then you can move to paper. I want you to think about getting out, if the day is pretty, getting out on your driveway with some chalk or with the hose, And my favorite thing is I get my chalk and I write great big letters, like 2 foot, 3 foot letters. Now you trace over my letter. They trace over my big F. And what sound does that make? And maybe I put an A next to it because we're learning that those two letters together, that blend. And that tells us to say fat. And I'm doing it in a big thing. Their bodies are involved. You know that we develop our skills from big muscles down to fine motor skills. So I'm using something that is going to appeal to them, number one, because a lot of our kids are probably tired of sitting at the table and being frustrated with the whole process. So think about how can I use what I'm already doing and get their body involved in it. So we're going to write with sidewalk chalk. We're going to use these three-dimensional letters, clay letters. And then I want you to think about modeling everything first. After you have done, like, sidewalk chalk and they write over yours, then it's a good thing to stand here and say, let's do it together. And you just write with your hand, I mean with your arm, the letter. And it makes the sound F. This is the lowercase F. It tells us to make the sound F. Okay, so I am getting their bodies moving, all right? I hope you hear that's the goal. Get their bodies moving. Get something in their hands that facilitates them doing something other than reading. And so while I have my moments left, I have, oh, I didn't tell y'all about this. I'll tell you about that in a minute. I have gifts for you. Okay, so all you lucky people who got a Post-it, raise your hand. Y'all are going to be so excited. You're going to say, darn, I want to go hear her speak again. Okay, sidewalk chalk. Get busy. Oh, I didn't tell you about Wiki Sticks. If y'all know what Wiki Sticks are, this was a PowerPoint thing. They're little letters that have wax on them, and you can easily make clay, easily make letters. Okay, that's for gluing on the paper, right? The other thing is, you can write on index cards. Remember I told you that was good to write the letter on the card? It's not the best. I have something for you. Hold on. Okay, I'm going to squeeze right by here. Pardon me. Okay. Just a minute. I wanted to send you home with things to do. Okay, actually, do I have two more people or just one more person? Just you? Okay. So I don't know if you know, but there's this new book that was just written. It's called Beyond the Diploma, Homeschooling with the End in Mind. And I wrote it. So come to my, I'm not going that way. Come to my booth and I'll sell you one. Anyway. It's about thinking about what you want for your family at the end of the day, especially your special kids. You want something big for your family, so I encourage you to read that book. This is the foam stuff. You didn't get a Post-it, but it's your lucky day. You didn't get a Post-it either. Okay, so golly, 20 minutes is not very long, is it? All righty, it's Dawn's turn. Okay.
So why don't you just tell us that for, as you've been undergoing, you know, teaching your children in different ways, just give us a brief summary of why you personally are so passionate about this topic.
Because I think that everybody has potential, maybe thinks in a uniquely different way from what is the typical way things are done. I am a very typical thinker, and I have such respect and regard for the people who think in a unique way because they have unique answers that I do not have.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Beth. All right, our next speaker.
Okay, thank you. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Every Child Can Learn. I'm, like I said, I'm with Sped Homeschool. We're a 501(c), and our job, our desire, our everything that we put forth is we want to empower all parents who teach our special needs children to have the confidence and know that they can do it at home. And we know how much sometimes it's a journey, it's a process, and there's days where you just want to give up. So we're trying to be here for you so that you can withstand your journey and not only just complete it, but do amazingly with it. I have the pleasure of knowing Beverly, and I, her methods work, because I'm going to tell you, my daughter was not reading, and now she is above grade level. So keep doing it. Move, move, move. It works. So what I'm going to talk to you about today is that from my former public education, I believed in the curriculum. I no longer believe in the curriculum. Learning is not a curriculum. It's not a timeline. It's a journey and a process. We all don't get at one spot at one time. We all have our own ways, our own styles, our own timeline. So I had to lock up my public school mindset in a box and put it away because it no longer applied to my children, to my homeschool. So this is a part, what I'm talking to you about today is how my journey kind of developed. So I have some major words I want to talk with you. First one is inspire. You know, a lot of things come to our mind when we hear the word inspire. Sometimes we think about people that have inspired us. We think about how we inspire others. I'm going to talk to you a little bit about both. This next person was an inspiration to me. When I was in third grade, our teacher came to us and she's like, okay, we're going to do a unit on famous people in history. Of course, as a third grader, you're like, yeah, right, whatever, who cares? But she started talking to us about people who were famous and how they contributed to the world. And I fell in love with the story of Helen Keller. It was amazing to me. Here's this girl that was born able to see, able to hear, but through an illness, she lost the ability of both. So now you have a child who has no ability, no voice. Family members wanted to put her in an institution. They did not think that, you know, because her behaviors were crazy. We know when our kids can't communicate what happens. They get frustrated, and their behaviors start outlashing. I mean, she just would run around the table and eat off everybody's plate, and everybody was like, okay, this has got to stop. And so they even went out to Alexander Bell, who was developing the phonograph and all this, and they tried to find out exactly what they could do for her, but nobody could really figure out what she needed. Then came in Annie Sullivan. Now imagine what the world would be like if Annie Sullivan hadn't decided to take on that position and work with Helen Keller. And what the amazing thing is Annie Sullivan was herself disabled. She had learning disabilities as well. But she decided that Helen Keller was worth it, that she went to her and kept working with her and working with her and working with her until she finally caught on. Water, you know, spelling water in her hand and then, you know, exposing her to the water, she finally got it. She gave her voice. And that's the part that inspired me the most, that it opened the door for her to learn. And that's what we do as parents with special needs kids. We're the Annie Sullivans that are sitting there every day with our child, no matter what it takes to help them learn. You know, she even went with her to college. I don't know that I want to go to college with my kids, but, you know, that's some great dedication that she believed in her so much that she went with her all the way up to when she graduated. That's pretty amazing to me. You know, I have a special ed background. I have a teacher background, but that doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter what your child's diagnosis is. If you have a heart and a desire to teach your child, you will be able to do it. There's all kind of resources. There's ways that you can figure it out. And I'm going to go over some of those. And, you know, sometimes even with my special ed background, I still hit roadblocks. I was at Beverly Parish's house because I didn't know what to do with my daughter. And she gave me some great advice and gave me, you know, tools. So we all have our toolbox, and we just keep needing to add our more tools and tools until we get the right tool that works for our child. Because I always feel like if my daughter is not learning, it's not her. I'm the one that needs to change. I'm the one that needs to find something else, because there is some way to teach every child. I truly believe that. The next word I have for you is unique. We're all unique. We're all made differently. We're all, not one person is alike, you know, and that's the beauty of the world. If we were all the same, it would be a very boring place to live. And that's what unique means. unlike anything else. And your child and your walk and your journey is unlike anything else. So I would also encourage you not to compare your homeschool to anybody else's, because it'll never be the same. And even if you use the same curriculum, it won't look the same, and that's okay. You measure it by your child and your way and your belief, and just give yourself that freedom, because it's very important. Because I'm going to tell you that one size doesn't fit all. You know, I had the privilege of speaking and teaching in public school for 10 years. So I experienced 180-plus children. And what I found out was that there's not one child that thought the same, learned the same. So I had to, at a class of 30, it was hard. You know, so even on my hard days at home, I'll take my 3 at home more than I will take the 30 in the classroom anymore, because I have the freedom. We have the freedom to find what works. And if it doesn't work today, we don't have to move on to the next subject or the next lesson. We can stop, reteach for mastery. And how amazing is that? Because our children deserve that. And that's why we do what we do. So look at your child as an individual, because that's what they are. And even my 3 that sit in front of me every day when we do group work, they are all working on their own level. And it takes a little hard work. This is a hard job. There's just not any way around it. But at the end of the day, all the blessings that we get out of it are more than worth it. One way, even if your child is not ready to learn, read alouds. Read alouds are so amazing. There's so many times that I know that my daughter wants to know about something, and she can't go get a book and read about it, but I sure can take her on a journey with a book. I love audiobooks. It lets me step back for a little bit and just watch them, and I'll pair it with let them drawing or let them color or whatever while they're reading a book or listening to a book, and they don't have to hear mom's boring voice all the time either. So it's kind of nice to be able to step back, and it's so good for our kids with dyslexia to hear the written, to hear it. And then a lot of times I'll pair the book with it, so they're getting to see the language, they're getting to take it in all the different ways. You know, most libraries have free audiobooks. I shared in one of my other speaking today that Overdrive is awesome. There's so many ways out there that you can get things into your hands to use for your child, a lot of resources. You know, we're setting the examples for our special needs children. They're watching the way that how we love them through struggles. There are going to be struggles. There's going to be days where there may be tears from you and from your child. But what they're going to see is that, guess what? You came back the next day. And you're still there cheering them on, telling them that they can do it. You know, we all have learning disabilities or learning differences of some way. I didn't find out what mine was till I was a senior in college. I didn't know why I couldn't understand math. And here I was doing all these things and graduating with honors, but I just could not get a number correct. And so I went to the college and I'm like, I'm first generation college, can I please get tested? And, you know, I went in and I had the testing done and I was like, oh, wait, you mean I'm not dumb? There's a reason why I can't figure out what a number is. And it was so empowering. But it didn't define who I was. It didn't define me as a learner. It just helped me to understand myself better and to know, oh, okay, well, this is the way it is. And so now what am I going to do about it? And that's what we get to do for our kids. We get to say, this is what it is, and what are we going to do about it? How can we help them? And just like there's no one way, just remember when you're choosing your curriculum, there's not one curriculum that's going to work for all your children or all your, and what works for one child may not work for another. And if you don't like it and it's not working, it's okay. Give yourself permission to say, okay, it's not working and I need to move on. And that's okay too. I know we get hung up sometimes on the money, but you know, sometimes God will give us another way to get what we need, and I'm a firm believer in that. The next word I want you to look at is challenge. There's a lot of ways that we can look at the word of challenge. But one of the definitions I liked was called dispute the truth. So I challenge you to dispute the truth or the lies that you've been that come against you when you're teaching your special needs child. Like I said, being a special ed teacher has been a blessing and a curse because my public school mind teacher tells me, oh, they're not reading yet. And I'm looking at all my Facebook friends, and they're all getting, all their kids are like, whoa, they're reading this and that. And I'm like, what am I going to do? My kid's not there yet. And I have to say, you know what? It doesn't matter. And I need to dispute that because it doesn't matter because my child is on her own journey, on her own time. And she's going to blossom when she's ready. But like I said, she knows that I'm going to come back every day. Even though we may have cried yesterday, today we may have rejoicing. But that's the beauty of being a homeschool mom is you can change it up and do what you feel is right for your child. You know, I shared this one of my other ones today is that Pinterest. I love Pinterest. I know I can get lost on there. But when I'm coming to something that's really hard, that I'm having a hard time teaching, I find something that's moving, something to get them moving, something to get them hands-on. Because when, you know, a lot of times that's where I go first, especially when I know it's a hard concept. How can I make this so fun and so hands-on that they're going to want to learn what I'm teaching them? So, you know, don't reinvent the wheel. Our Sped Homeschool has a whole page on all the different things that we have compiled together on Pinterest. So maybe you won't get so lost in Pinterest like 4 hours later like I do sometimes. Like right now I'm trying to teach my daughter rhyming, and it's amazing how many different things you can do with rhyming. So take your kids on field trips. Make it hands-on. Make it meaningful. You're going to talk about art. Take them to the museum. My daughter, you know, it was amazing. She loved Monet. We read about it, and then she saw it, and she was like, Mom, look at all those. And she could just see everything in there, and she gave me a new perspective. So never give up because your child is worth it. And if you also have a challenge, sometimes your therapists or people that you work for, invite your community to help you. I have great therapists for my daughter, and so we collaborate a lot of times, so I encourage you to do that. The last one is reward. We get a lot of rewards with our kids. Sometimes they're tangible, sometimes they're intangible, but this is a process. It's a journey, and children learn at the pace that they're going to learn at, no matter how fast we want it to go. So just stop and enjoy the journey. Find the ways to praise their accomplishments, even if it's a little small thing. Teach them that hard is good and that mistakes are lessons. Teach them that when they finally finish a project, that they learn perseverance, and that's a great life lesson. Celebrate the child that you have and unwrap them and understand the gift that you've been given because they have you, and that's the most important thing. Whatever your path that your child goes, whatever path they, you know, they're going on, they're learning on, let them see the faith in your eyes. You know, part of the reason that my daughter succeeded, I believe, is because I never told her she was behind. She never knew that her friends were reading two grade levels above her. She just knew that all of a sudden she could read the same books. But, you know, it never occurred to her that she was behind. Some days will be long. Some days will be longer. Some days you just want to lay in your bed and put your sheets over your head and drink 5 cups of coffee. And I understand that because I have those days too. But believe in their talents. You know, my daughter, when she wasn't reading, she was writing stories and she was creating and she was drawing. So I just took those times to really tell her what a great job she was doing on those things and tried to accent what she could do well so that when it came to the point where things were hard, I would say, you remember when you did this? That was hard. You went from drawing a stick to drawing this so that you can use those things to help you with your children to encourage them. You know, Tom Edison's mom homeschooled him. And I've read different things where she received a letter and they've kind of disputed that. But the whole thing is that he was not learning in public school. So his mom pulled him out and homeschooled him. And, you know, what if what if, you know, he had stayed in public school and not learned, and his mom hadn't taken that time to teach him? We wouldn't have the light bulb. I mean, there's just amazing things that we have no idea what our child's journey is going to be. You know, my daughter one day was sitting there playing, and she was telling me, she stopped what she was doing. She looked up, and she said, "Mom, thank you for believing that I'm smart." You know, just them believing that they're smart, that you've said it enough. You know, and no matter what their label is, it doesn't matter. They are smart, and they are teachable. So your heart's pursuit to make them a better person, to teach them, is the best thing that you can do for them. And as long as you're doing those things, I believe that there's not a better place for your child. So my last slide, if it's going to work, maybe. Celebrate the little things, the everyday things that you don't see. Take pictures of your child's work from the beginning and look at it in a couple years and amaze yourself of how far your child has come. So I just remember that every child can learn. Thank you.
Thank you, Don. And a follow-up question for you. Tell us, what was the most unexpected challenge that you have had on your personal journey about all these different things you've been talking about just now?
When I was a public school teacher, I started in second grade. So I never taught a child how to read. I did not realize how many kudos I should give to kindergarten teachers, because I was like, what? And then I didn't realize my son had gone to public school, so he already was reading, and then we pulled him out. But my next daughter that came up was dyslexic, and then I'm teaching reading to dyslexic, and I don't know how to teach reading. So therefore, I was like, okay, I was out trying to find as much as I could. So that was probably my biggest challenge, but I feel like now that I've met that hurdle, that I can probably, you know, I'm now working on my next daughter about her reading, so... Reading is a big thing. Teaching reading from the ground up. That for me is the hardest thing. And so if you're doing that, that is amazing. And I give you hands because, yeah, that's the hardest part, I thought.
All right. Thank you. All right. Let's give a hand for Don Spence.
Thank you.
And I believe we finished a little bit early, so you guys are welcome to talk with both speakers. They'll be here for a little while. And I hope you guys have a great rest of your convention.